presenting Variety Bandbox.
How do you do, everybody? This is Philip Slesser speaking from the stage of the Golders Green Hippodrome, London, presenting the people of Variety to a variety of people. Supporting our artists today, we have, as usual, Billy Turner's orchestra with the maestro himself, Billy Turner. Opening our program, as usual, with musical entertainment, we have a performer who's been a bandbox success on many previous occasions with his quick-fire songs to his own guitar accompaniment. He starts today with the Hawaiian War Chant, and he's Phil Phillips.
Oh, there once lived a bull, a magnificent bull, in a pasture near old Barcelona. He would romp and he played through the flowers all day, till he smelled just like eau de cologne. He was gentle and kind, and his mood was refined, which the rest of the bulls all resented. And when he'd start to moo in a moment or two, he'd have all the cows discontented. Ferdinand, Ferdinand, the bull with the delicate ego. Ferdinand, Ferdinand, the heifers all called him amigo. Ferdinand, Ferdinand, he curtsy and greet them politely. Now he knew how to tango and dance the fandango, but he never learned how to fight. Oh, there once lived a bee, a magnificent bee, who was feeling so chock full of vigor that he got out of hand and he stung Ferdinand with his sharp little thingamajigger. Ferdinand was so hurt, he was pawing the dirt, when a bold picador chanced to sight him. Then the picador cried, as a matter of pride, I'll get my stiletto and fight him. Ferdinand, oh Ferdinand, he smiled when the picador faced him. Ferdinand, oh Ferdinand, he winked and the picador chased him. Ferdinand, 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 he viewed the occasion so lightly. When the picador missed him, why Ferdinand kissed him, cause he never learned how to fight. Ferdinand, oh little Ferdinand, he was so in love with the scent of the flowers. He would sniffle so completely, and he would smell so sweetly, but he never learned how to fight. He was a coward.
There strolls onto the stage now a most self-possessed and suave gentleman carrying the tools of his trade, a cigarette in a very long black holder. As a matter of fact, that cigarette and that holder are almost the trademark of one of our leading young comedians, Terry Thomas.
How do you do? Well, in case you're wondering how I acquired this wonderful suntan. Of course, listeners, you can't see, can you? How foolish of me. Perhaps it's just as well you can't see, because I didn't have a particularly good shave this morning, actually. Well, as a matter of fact, I've just come back from France. I often pop over to France for short stays. My wife doesn't... can't get them short enough, yeah? Apart from that, I inherited a thirst for travel from my father. A thirst as well. My father used to go away regularly for quite long stretches. One of my earliest recollections was my mother crooning to me, 30 days, has September, April, June, and your father. Now, to get back to France, when you go to France, you have to cross a very useful spot of water known as the English Channel. Very handy in 1940, wasn't it? Apparently, most people about this time of the year swim across or walk across in top hats, but I decided to go over by ship as I'd rather a lot of luggage, comb and a toothbrush. And even taking the toothbrush, the customs decided not to allow me to take my teeth. There was too much gold in them. I had quite a lot of trouble in finding the docks. There was a terrific fog at the time, a real pea super. One might refer to it as a super duper pea super. I couldn't see my hands in front of me, which wasn't surprising, really, because of my suspenders had broken and I was holding up my socks. However, I stumbled on, climbing over walls and clambering over amongst much merchandise, rich spices from the east and dried eggs from the west. Anyway, after what seemed an interminable period of time, actually, I don't suppose it was more than about a half an hour, I saw a dim light ahead of me. I hurried forward, and at last I saw dimly a uniformed figure standing at the stern of a strange-looking craft. I groped near, and finding my sea lungs, I pumped them up and screamed, "Ahoy there, I'm coming aboard." Back came the answering hail. "You blooming mate, this tram's full up." I did incidentally find the ship, and it was quite a luxurious one. Never have known it for a landing barge. They cunningly camouflaged it by completely covering it with a half inch of mud. It was rather crowded, and I had to share a cabin. My companion was somewhat of a celebrity. He was the winner of the Ascot Gold Cup. As a matter of fact, I don't think I've ever met a more charming horse, really. Arriving in Paris, I checked into my hotel. Just in case there are any currency officials listening, I'd better not say I checked into my hotel. I arrived at my hotel and signed the register. The man who'd signed the register before me was a French nobleman called Le Marquis à la carte ou langoustine. He signed the register Le Marquis à la carte ou langoustine and his valet. I signed Terry Thomas and his valise. Oh, I am. Yes, the receptionist laughed much more than that. Oh, by the way, did you read about a very big affair that took place in Paris a few weeks ago? There were lots and lots of film stars and elephants and mannequins, and the press accounts were rather garbled. You may remember some papers said that mannequins appeared dressed in fashions created by famous Parisian dress designers riding on elephants, and other papers subscribed to the view that the elephants were dressed by famous Parisian designers. Although I was there, I'm not quite certain myself. This may sound rather odd, but the light was very bad. Now, as you probably know, France is noted for two things: wonderful scenery and beautiful girls. I'm hoping to go back next year to see the scenery. One day, as I stood on the curb looking across one of the Grand Boulevards, you know, great big roads with trees in the middle, as I stood there, a simply adorably ravishing girl came up to me and said, "Oh, ça, Peter, deliver ça, Peterborn, develop, poo-poo." Well, by the time I'd looked all this up in my French dictionary, she'd gone, which was probably just as well. What she said meant, "Can I help you across the road, Grandpa?" I'll sing you a favorite little song of mine, which expresses the way I feel about being back in England again and broadcasting a variety bandbox from London.
Maybe it's because I'm a Londoner that I love London so. Maybe it's because I'm a Londoner that I think of her wherever I go. I get a funny feeling inside of me just walking up and down. Maybe it's because I'm a Londoner and I love London town.
Now, Charlie, what about you having a bash?
All right, I don't mind if I do.
Maybe it's because I'm a Londoner and I love London town. Maybe it's because I'm a Londoner and I think of her wherever I go. I get a funny feeling inside of me just walking up and down. Maybe it's because I'm a Londoner that I love London
town. A few weeks ago, the bandbox audience gave a rousing reception to the really brilliant piano playing of our next performer, who's coming back to us today with some more fine music for our pleasure. Sitting down at the piano to play, first of all, a medley of popular songs is Peggy Desmond. And now for some rousing singing. The voices of men blending in pleasant harmony come to us in a song called There Ought to Be a Society, sung by some top-line favorites of the air and the music halls, the Master Singers.
There ought to be a society for the prevention of cruelty to poor unfortunate lovers. Mm. Poor unfortunate lovers. Mm. Poor unfortunate lovers like me. There ought to be a society for the extension of sympathy to poor unfortunate lovers. Mm. Poor unfortunate lovers, poor unfortunate lovers like me.
If you beat up a dog or a cat, you go to jail for the maximum penalty. They got protection laws for the dumb animals,
but nobody cares about me.
I see.
When I get beat, so I repeat.
Reach.
There ought to be a society for the prevention of cruelty to poor unfortunate lovers.
Mm.
Poor unfortunate lovers.
Mm.
Poor unfortunate lovers like me.
Society for the prevention of cruelty
to poor unfortunate lovers.
Mm.
Poor unfortunate lovers.
Mm.
Poor unfortunate lovers like me.
There ought to be a society for the extension of sympathy
to poor unfortunate lovers.
Mm.
Poor unfortunate lovers.
Mm.
Poor unfortunate lovers like me.
When you go for a walk in the zoo,
you never try for to beat up the chimpanzee.
They got the iron cage and the keeper too.
The monkey is better than me. He's mad at me.
We all agree. There ought to be a society for prevention of cruelty
to poor unfortunate lovers. Poor unfortunate lovers.
Poor unfortunate lovers
like me,
like me,
me too.
Well, now our next artist says he's something of an athlete. But if he is, I feel it can only be as a result of his guilty conscience, because whenever he sees a policeman, he runs a mile. And, of course, that can only be your resident comedian, Derek Roy.
Thank you very much, and good evening, patients.
Well, now, tell me, Derek, is it true that you're running in the Olympic Games?
Yes, and I am on a marvelous diet to make me run really fast.
Oh, what is it?
Run of beans and Epsom salts.
Derek, did you know that I was in the fencing team?
Oh, in the fencing team? How did you get off?
I'm afraid I lost.
Oh, foiled again, eh? Did you know, Philip, that I once appeared in an Olympic boxing competition?
Oh, what happened?
Well, I swept down the aisle of my seconds, climbed over the ropes, took off my dressing gown, and the crowd let out a terrific roar.
They did?
Yes, I forgot to put my pants on. Yes. However, I was in one race at the Wembley Stadium on Saturday.
What race was that?
The human race.
What are you laughing at? What are you laughing at? Anyone would think you were in it.
What's he doing? Trying to make a monkey out of me? Oh. No, as a matter of fact, I had a very good day there at Wembley. And the first place I went to was the Empire Pool. And what a pool. It's the wettest thing I've seen since Frankie Howard. Anyway, I took my girlfriend along to teach her how to swim. I was doing very well until an attendant came along and made us get in the water. Anyway, but... What wonderful divers there were. Of course, I'm an expert on low dives, but there was one... There was one high diver there who did some terrific stunt diving. Unfortunately, he had an accident. I'll tell you how it happened. You see, on Monday, he dived from 100 feet into a gallon of water. On Tuesday, he dived into half a gallon of water. On Wednesday, into a pint. On Thursday, into a teacup. And on Friday, into a damp cloth. And on Saturday, he had his accident. Somebody squeezed out the cloth. Anyway, one of the Olympic selectors was telling me how he thought he'd found a wonderful jumper. He was walking down Oxford Street and saw a man jumping up and down to a height of about 6 feet. So he said to some men who were mending the road, "What a wonderful jumper that fellow is. You know, I'd like to put him in the British team." So one of the men said, "Well, if you take him, you'll have to take Addie Hawkins as well." So the selector said, "Well, what have I got to have him for?" And the man said, "Well, he's the fellow what hit him on the foot with a 10-pound hammer." Anyway, and now, Patience, I should like to put on my own Olympic Games at the Roy Stadium, and so I hand you over to your raving reporter, Richard Bumblebee. Hello, drones. Oh, you other little buzzers. Here we are. Here we are at the Roy Stadium, where the indoor games are due to start at any moment. We have many distinguished visitors here, including a gentleman from the United Nations Organization. At least I think he was, because I saw him hurrying to an exit, and when I asked him where he was going, he said, you know. But anyway, now the stadium is all agog with the news that the last torchbearer is about to enter. There may have been many rumors about the identity of this torchbearer. Some thought it should be the Minister of Fuel, or a cabinet minister on light duty, or even one of the athletic MPs used to running with the hare and the hounds. And finally, they chose a man with feline grace and a cat-like tread, Mr. James Puss Puss Mason. And here he comes now! Hey! He's running around the stadium with a torch held high, and he's rounding the last bend now, so over to the finish to have a few words with him. Oh, excuse me, mister. Good heavens, you're not James Mason. No, I'm his stand-in. I'm carrying the torch for Jim. Well, well, what a disappointment, ladies and gentlemen, but let's go and have a few words with the indoor swimming coach instead. Tell me, coach, when did you first learn to swim?
In my bath, when I was a child.
Ah, when your mother bathed you?
No, my father always used to bath me. He could hold me under longer. Ah, but I was too tough for him. My mother made me tough.
Indeed, how was that?
Well, she made me sleep in a high cot so she could hear me when I fell out.
Very interesting. By the way, coach, I'm teaching a young lady to swim. Can you give me any useful hints?
Certainly. First, take her by the hand.
Yes.
Then put your arm around her waist.
Yes, yes.
Then you put your other arm around her waist.
But this is my sister.
Ah, well, in that case, push her in off the side.
Thank you, coach. Now, listeners, I just spotted a gentleman with a large corporation and a beard. No, I don't think it's Phillips Lesser. He hasn't got a beard. excuse me, sir. Would you mind telling us in what event you're taking part?
In the Russian Ballet.
Oh, the Russian Ballet, yes. Dancing on points?
No, eating on points.
Eating on points, but I thought you said Russian Ballet.
That's right, Russian Ballet. The more points you have, the more rations you eat, and the bigger your...
Yes, yes, I see what you mean. Well, thank you. And here's the young lady dressed for some contest. Oh, excuse me, miss, what is your name?
Annie.
Annie what?
Any moment now.
quite so. I notice you're wearing a somewhat abbreviated costume.
Yes, that's my communique costume.
Communique costume?
Yes. It covers the situation without revealing any interesting information.
As a matter of fact, I really don't see what prevents you from catching cold.
You're not supposed to.
Tell me, Annie, what big event are you in for?
I beg your pardon? Oh, I see, yes. Yes, now, I'm in for the ladies' tiddlywink team.
Oh, and what do you do in that?
Well, sometimes I wink and sometimes I get tiddly.
quite so, and where can I get hold of your captain?
Well, I don't know, really. She's awfully ticklish.
Yes, well, thank you, Annie. Well, now, listeners, there is another team captain here I can introduce you to, the captain of the men's postman's knock team. Tell me, sir. why were you chosen as captain?
Well, I'm a real postman, see?
Oh, so that's why you know knock.
As a matter of fact, my wife trains me. She's very interested in sport, likes watching football.
Oh, really? Do you take her out to soccer?
Now I bash her at home.
Well, now, listeners, I think we ought to get over to the Olympic crooning contest. I have at my side that well-known musical expert, Mr. William S. Turnant. And I'm going to ask him if he can name the first contestant correctly. So, over to the crooning contest.
I couldn't sleep a wink last night because we had that silly fight.
Well, Mr. Tennant, who was that?
Easy. Gus Lesnovich.
Mr. Tennant, I see you're boxing clever.
Well, who do you think it was?
Well, I should say it was the old Mills by the Scream, Nellie Tennant. Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, let's listen to the next contestant, who is, Eddie Cantor.
Little curly hair in a high chair. The only kid left, the rest I've shot 'em. And if you, my son, should get in my hair, I'll have to smack your little...
Thank you, Mr. Cantor. Thank you. And so we conclude this broadcast from the Roy Stadium with Derek Roy himself singing, What Do I Have to Do to Make You Love Me?
As if you didn't know. What do I have to do to make you love me? What do I have to do to make you fall? Seems like my head is getting dizzy from having to hit my heart against the wall. Why do I have to swim the deepest ocean? How many highest mountains can I climb? I'm running out of every doggone scheme to make my dream come true. So what do I have to do to make you love me the way that I love you?
I mean, look what I did in the Olympic Games. I'll tell you all about it.
I nearly broke my neck watching Cochrane hurdle. My heart nearly stopped in a 100-meter sprint. And then I went and twisted up me girdle while running the half a mile without the wind. Oh, yeah. Say that you love me, or I'm for the high jump and the pole vault because I'm going up the pole. I'm running out of every doggone scheme to make my dream come true. So what do I have to do to make you love me the way that I love you?
Emptied the bandbox for today, and this is Philip Slessor saying goodbye for now. The program, which came from the Golders Green Hippodrome, London, was produced by Joy Russell Smith and presented by the BBC.